everybody. This is Felix. If you are listening right now, you are a Grey Wolf subscriber. We're very excited today because we have with us the inventor of feminism, comedian Brendan Wardell.
Hello. Yes, welcome. It's true. True goddamn motherfucking respecting women hours. Let's go.
Smash that motherfucking amplifying voice button.
It's episode 37. As Felix says, we're coming to you now with Brendan Wardell, inventor of feminism and real motherfucking respecting women hours.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about that with him in a little bit. But just to remind you, I am Will Menaker. Matt Christman, also in the house.
Hey, guys.
How you doing? So we got Brendan on here. Brendan was in New York City this week for the MTV Video Music Awards. And we want to frame this show around a discussion of our generation, the millennial generation. You read about them all the time. You see them in news articles about things that they are or are not doing. But who are these people? Americans of previous generations, you could find them doing things like dancing the Charleston, dying in a war, playing in a grunge music band, and living in clean, safe, all-white communities. Millennials are doing things like being trans and eating ass. So who are these monsters? What do they want? And what are they going to do when they take over our culture?
Yeah, I've done both of those things today. I woke up. Don't talk to me before I've had my morning ass eating sesh. I went M to F back to M. All before recording this podcast.
You know, you actually need that for an unpaid internship now.
Yeah, you need to, like, that's a requirement. You have to be trans.
Yeah.
And it's just
fucked up. Rod Dreher is right.
But, like, yeah, just 10 years ago, this would all have been unspeakable. But, like, our culture has changed so much.
Yeah.
Thanks to these goddamn millennials.
Yeah, everybody's extremely trans now.
Now, I consider myself sort of an elder statesman millennial. I was born in 1983, which technically makes me a millennial. Matt, when were you born?
About the same time. So yeah,
we're right on the cusp.
So how old are you?
I'm 33.
Okay, yeah.
So like technically,
yeah. I feel like if you're within the 18 to 34 demo, it's fair. It's fair to use that term. But I've heard like 37 year olds be like, yeah, I'm technically a millennial. And it's like first off, no. Second off, like, why would you want that as an identifier? It's like the worst word. It's like the fucking worst possible word. It feels like a slur.
But Brendan, you are firmly in the money millennial demographic, right?
I mean, I profit off of.
No, but I meant like I'm an old millennial. I'm like an elder millennial.
What do you mean, money millennial?
Like I feel like Brendan and maybe Felix are sort of the new loud type of millennial.
Yeah, I'm a loud type of millennial.
I'm a loud sister.
Well, like I'm a little bit older than Brendan. I was born in 1990.
Okay, 90s so, babies.
90s babies.
Oh, yeah, 90s babies.
Cool,
yeah,
four babies.
September 5th, 1992. 23, turning 24 on Monday.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will, I turned 26 this year. I sort of consider that like the beginning of the end for me. Just physically don't feel as strong, don't feel as virile.
Yeah.
Used to be, I would wake up and something would make me horny and my glasses would fog up and my bow tie would spin around. I would knock all my coffee coupons off my counter with my boner. That doesn't happen to me anymore. I don't even want to call myself a millennial anymore because part of being a millennial is virility, and I don't have that now.
Right. I'm looking forward to joining the 27 Club.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to merc myself next year somehow.
Well, I think a good dividing line is I think we established on a previous show. See, Matt and I both remember buying pornography in magazine form.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
millennials, we know what we do. You know, it's like you and your friends, you get around your computer.
Yeah, always, everybody. Yeah. It's just you and your boys.
Yeah,
gathering around your damn MacBook,
Yeah, yeah.
And you jacking
got,
off.
You got Skype with your friends who are also jacking off, and you're like,
jacking off into the same cup.
Then you all have to drink it.
Yeah.
That's just all, millennials, yeah.
You know.
We love our life. We love, like, that crazy millennial life.
Wait, who's this? Wait, there's this, like, what's his name? Jonah Baseball? Is that his name?
That's the baseball crank. And his
the baseball name. Crank. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah, there's, like, a baseball crank.
Sorry, for listeners, Brendan is looking at one of our many baseball crank stickers in Felix's living room.
I have literally thousands of these things.
How did you acquire them?
One of our listeners, Nathan, got like 5,000 made and sent us a ton, and we put them all over Midtown Manhattan where the real baseball crank works.
Yes.
Yeah, and like, they're all over. I actually, a few months ago, I was solicited a dick pic, and so I like took it sort of near my laptop, not this laptop, a gaming laptop I have for scale. And I was like, yeah, this is cool. And then I realized that laptop is covered in baseball crank stickers.
So this is also a new type of millennial shit. It is taking photos of your dick and sending it to people.
Yeah, I've only ever done that solicited, by the way, ladies.
Right, well, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's respectful.
Yeah.
Only ever.
You're nuts, you can send unsolicited.
Scrot photos.
Yeah.
You only send them when the sweeties ask.
Yeah. You know, I'm like really respectful of the sweeties' wishes.
Right. I've never taken a photo of my dick ever.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you're like Mr. Millennial. Like, you
know. I've taken a photo of my dick, but that was like during one of my frequent bouts when I think I have AIDS because I have like a pimple on it.
Oh, yeah.
That would be good for the show if you got AIDS.
I have only sent dick pics to my male friends as a troll.
Oh, true. Right.
Well, I think you have to do that. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm sort of into fitness, and you have to, like, you have to take a picture of your flaccid ding-dong and send it to your friends. And, like, looking thick, solid, and tight, awesome motivation to keep me posted.
I just can't, I don't want to think about, like, the idea of that being leaked ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, I feel like that could happen.
No one's going to leak mine because no one gives a shit who I am.
Like, well, no, yeah. For now.
I mean, like, what... But, like, what would... If somebody leaked my dick pic now, like, what would happen? Like,
right.
Nothing. They're like, oh, wow, the guy who, like, wakes up late to do his own podcast. There's a picture of his dick. Wow, that just ruins his credibility.
So, Brendan, you came into the city, like I said, for the Music Video Awards. You went to this event this week.
I did. I went there on Sunday.
Okay, well, let me ask you. Did they play any dang music videos? Because I remember when MTV was nothing but music videos.
Oh, I remember when MTV used to play music videos back in my day. Yeah, they did. They played it was mostly a Rihanna concert, honestly.
But like, but there are no videos now, so like, what are the awards for? Like, okay, Brendan, who won the award for like most extreme kush? Who was most off that kush at the VMAs?
Who's extremely off the kush?
Yeah.
Oh man, this honestly. Okay, so industry secret. You know, a lot of people they think Wiz Khalifa loves Kush. They're always like, oh, you know,
yeah, that's his thing.
You know, that's his whole thing. He's never smoked Kush. Not once in his life. Wiz Khalifa has never tried Kush.
Is he straight edge?
He's actually very straight edge, and he's actually he's also never fucked. Wiz Khalifa's never fucked or smoked Kush. He raps about both of those things, but he hasn't done either.
He's perpetrating.
Do you ever listen to... Oh, hell yeah, thank you.
No problem.
Felix just brought over coffee. Do you ever listen to the... Do you ever listen to the Wiz Khalifa, Paul Walker tribute song?
Oh, of course.
See You Again?
I listen to it once a week. Yeah.
I listen to it like... Like, they used to play it on the radio constantly, and I could never listen to it when it was, like, on the radio. I'd always change the channel. But now it's, like, now that there's been enough time away, I, like, revisit it a lot.
Actually, note to our producer, Brendan, edit in the Wiz Khalifa Paul Walker track right now.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
For us, like, for our people, like, we don't remember 9/11. We don't care about it. Like, none of us work.
Paul Walker was our 9/11.
Exactly. Yeah. None of us work in office buildings, so we can't relate to 9/11.
Yeah.
We all work in, like, you know, like, the fucking, the LGBT store or the gay store, and we're like, we can't relate to, like, they're like, oh, what if someone flew a plane or did a controlled demolition of the building you work in? I don't know. That's not something
I don't know. I forgot. I was too busy, you know, I'm working at the Trans Mosque.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm working at...
I'm too busy to remember 9/11.
Yeah, hell yeah. No, I'm too busy doing hookup culture.
Looking at my phone.
Yeah. But...
I'm too busy doing hookup
culture. Yeah, no, that's what I say. But, like, when Paul Walker died, that was, like, a form... Fast and Furious was like the most important movie to us. That was like really a big part of our culture.
Well, we all live our lives a quarter mile of a time now, cousin.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Yeah.
But this is another big dividing line. And like as an older millennial, I very much remember 9/11. I was 18 when it happened, and it affected me very personally, as fans of the show will know, because I tried to use it as an excuse out of getting out of trouble for smoking weed in college.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, how?
True fans of the show will remember that. I got busted for, it was like my first week in college, and I got busted for smoking weed in my dorm on 9/11. And then I had to go in front of a disciplinary hearing, and I was like, well, I'm from New York and my family is there, so I was
like, oh my god. You're like, I'm coping.
That's so good.
It was self-care.
That's so good.
But I didn't have the language of self-care, because that shit hadn't been invented yet. You know, so if I'd gone to college, like, you know, 8, 9, 10 years later, they would have let me get away with it.
Yeah, you would have been, first of all, you'd be like, why are NBPOC reading my disciplinary folder? Which is like what I did when I would get in trouble in college.
Yeah, I went to college very briefly. I went to college for like less than a semester.
What did you go to college for?
For broadcast journalism. That's a fucking Chapo Trap House exclusive, I think. I don't think I've ever talked about that on a podcast. I was a fucking broadcast journalism
major.
That's
what you're doing right now.
Which is, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need to go to school for that shit.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But we have breaking news. Breaking news. Danny Trejo has said dick's out for Harambe.
Oh my god. By the way, that
was another one of your crowning achievements.
Yeah, that's something that got way too out of control way too fast, and I want to like distance myself from that narrative. it sort of got co-opted by the alt-right, you know.
Yeah.
Like, they started using it to like bully Leslie Jones and shit, and it's like, it's just a bunch of, you know, like it started getting like co-opted by like Nazis who know who Pepe is. Just like fascists who like love me.
I hate when something pure gets corrupted by all the shit.
So pure and like just dumb and fun. And then like a week later I was like, oh fuck this. Like, cause it was a week later that Nero tweeted about Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yeah,
if you're listening to this right now and you go to a Brendan Wardell show or you see him on the street, don't say, hey Brendan, dick's out for Harambe, cause he'll probably spit on you.
I've had people drive by. I've had some drive by dicks out for Harambe.
Oh man.
Okay, so, like, you're more famous than me. I get recognized in New York sometimes, but like nowhere else.
Yeah.
What's that like? Is that more people probably recognize you a lot?
Yeah. I mean, well, in LA, I live in like Silver Lake, and that's kind of like,
it's the cool neighborhood.
That's like the cool neighborhood, and so it's like a lot of people there because they're like, oh, we get it. For the most part, it's never like anything like overwhelming. Like, I've like hung out with like much more famous friends that get recognized on like an annoying level. But like, it's not cool when it's like Hypebeast fans, you know.
Yeah,
like, like the only time where it's like it's like
I've heard the phrase before, but what the fuck is Hypebeast?
Just like kids that like wear streetwear and like love Lil Yachty.
Are these the people who like camp out to buy a pair of sneakers?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, and shit, kids that like wait in line at Supreme.
Oh,
like those guys, those are the dudes that like know about me because of like No Jumper, that podcast. And so like a lot of like those fans, a lot of like Hypebeast fans, will, like, come up to me and be like, yo, like, follow me on Instagram, like, check out my SoundCloud fam, like, that kind
of
shit.
The worst, and, those are none of our listeners.
Right. Like, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, for the most part, it's chill.
I got recognized in the supermarket in Brooklyn the other weekend.
The best is when somebody that you perceive as like famous recognizes you.
You may remember me from such movies as Cry Yuma and Here Comes the Coast Guard.
Okay, well, when you were at the VMAs, did you go backstage? You recognized some famous people. Did you approach any of them?
Okay, so at the VMAs, this... Okay, so it was weird, because, like... So I went to the MTV Movie Awards earlier this year and really got the full experience because I, like, walked the red carpet. I, like, went out in, like, the OVO sweatsuit from the Work video. And so, like, that was, like, and, you know, I was, like, seated near famous people. Like, I, like, made eye contact with Kendall Jenner. But then with the VMAs, I got the tickets, like, very last minute, didn't walk the red carpet, didn't really meet, and I didn't meet any Kanye's or, you know, Britney Spears or whatever. Like, I didn't meet any, like, pop stars, but I did meet D-Ray.
I saw.
Yeah, I saw
you got a selfie with D-Ray.
Yeah, and that was wild, because, like, I was going to, like, the concession stand, and D-Ray walks by wearing, like, a Twitter shirt.
And, what do you mean a Twitter shirt?
Like, he was wearing a shirt with, like, the blue
little bird on it?
Yeah, okay. He was wearing, like... But I was also wearing my shorts that have the verified check on them. But, like, I walk by, and I'm like, oh, D-Ray, what's up, man? He's like, oh, hey, Brandon Wardell. Because, like, a couple weeks earlier, there was, like, this incident with a Wild and Outcast member, Matt Rife.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, yeah. I was just, like, making fun of his Instagram for being corny. Then he was like, come fight me. I was like, no. I was just, like, roasting him. And then people started searching, like, faggot or whatever, like, on his Twitter account. And just finding a bunch of, like, problematic tweets, and then, like, started retweeting it. Complex, like, wrote an article about it, and then I got, like, a bunch of credit for, like, being some sort of, like, social justice guy, when in reality I was just, like, making fun of a corny guy, and then he, like, happened to do all this shit.
By the way, if you're listening to this, don't start searching all of our Twitter accounts for the word faggot right now.
Well, I was, yeah, when you guys find those tweets that I did, I was sort of testing my new keyboard out. But so, I loved the Matt Rife thing for many reasons.
Right.
I liked it when he showed up to fight you. Like,
oh,
he
just showed up like hot threat selfies.
Yeah, and he was wearing fucking diamond
stud earrings.
Yeah, which is always what you want to do before you fight somebody.
So that day, D-Ray tweeted at me. When, like, the Complex article came out, he tweeted at me and he was like, well, you ended that quickly. So I meet him at the VMAs, and I was like, oh, that was funny when you tweeted at me during that thing. And he was like, oh, yeah, I don't normally tweet at people during those types of things, but I thought that was important. And I was like, okay, yeah, definitely.
I would say it's, you know, a cause on par with what he usually is.
Right, yeah,
with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we talked, like, a little bit then. I was like, oh, we gotta take a picture for the culture. Like, D-Ray, we gotta get a picture for the culture. And he was like, for sure. And then we take the photo, and he's like, oh, man, Twitter's gonna love this. And so I post it, he retweets it, then I'm like, the VMAs end. I'm walking out with my friend Darcy. I run into D-Ray again. He says, what's up? And he, like, retweeted it, was like, oh, yeah, Twitter, like, loved that picture. And I was, like, smoking a cigarette, and he was like, hey, man, don't kill yourself.
Oh!
Oh, what are you... Oh, and then I realized, like, oh, you're talking about the cigarette. And then he was introducing me to, like, some friends of his that, like, worked at the Nightly Show, RIP, and he was like, oh yeah, this is Brandon Wardell, he's a big deal. Like, aww. He was like introducing me as like a big deal, and he was like a really like nice dude. He was like a D-Ray is like super nice, and then he said I'm allowed to say the N-word now. So
can you give that property to your friends?
Yeah, is that fungible? Yeah.
What's that?
Is that fungible property? That can
what is?
Can you transfer that right to Chapo Trap House?
Oh, he didn't actually say that.
Okay.
Yeah, we were just kidding. We don't really.
No, you have to be on the $10 a month subscriber level to get there.
That was just
shout out Mark Dice, by the way.
Me saying D-Ray saying I could say the N-word was just a joke that fell flat.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
We weren't really excited about that. We haven't been.
Both of you just got really excited.
We weren't. No, that's not, yeah. We don't really want. We're not constantly looking for ways to do that.
Oh yeah, that Mark Dice. Yeah. That Mark Dice. I said it with an A, by the way.
Yeah. Show how hypocritical you are by banning me.
Is it tough being 100% clean comedian, though?
Oh yeah, it's real hard being a Christian corporate comedian.
Yeah, Brandon has this really good joke, by the way, where he gets up there and he goes, "I know what you guys are thinking. What race is this guy? Well, I'm Indian and Japanese, so I get my sushi from 7-Eleven."
Fucking Dan Ninen's a goddamn legend.
Absolutely.
It's funny, like, I'm a 23-year-old, fairly marketable comedian, I'm, like, young, I know about Drake and shit, but I just, like, choose to, like, do podcasts like this, and, like, tweet about sexual Jumanji all the time, and just, like, I'm very online in a way that may be detrimental to me. I mean, like, the VMA thing, like, I think I would have, like, I would have walked the red carpet if, like, that Matt Rife thing didn't happen. Like, I would have absolutely walked the red carpet, but then I was, like, fucking, I destroyed the career of, like, somebody that's on one of their shows. And so they were sort of like, oh, Brandon's a troublemaker.
I have to back up a second. What is sexual Jumanji?
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Felix.
Will,
Felix
do better. Knows. What the fuck?
Yeah.
How do you Matt's not know Sex right. J?
Oh my god. Yeah. Will, do you not know about Sex J?
No, Matt is a huge Sex J fan because
I'm a huge Sex J fan because he's from Milwaukee.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah. I was about to say, Wisconsin boys.
So we got Wisconsin solidarity going.
Custer that's boys. That's where we met. I met him. Custer boys. I was the first Twitter person to meet Sex J.
This is a Twitter person.
This is a 21-year-old from Milwaukee. He's in his senior year. He's in his senior year at University of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He, like, works a cashier job at some grocery store. And he's great on Twitter. He tweets a lot about, like, FIFA and H1Z1 and, like, League of Legends. And he'll just, like, complain about, like, his mom buying the wrong soda or whatever. And I'm just, like, I've been obsessed with him, like, for a while. I moderate all his Twitch streams, by the way. the day of...
Okay, this officially is the most millennial shit we've ever talked about.
The day of
you're mad just because I'm with my people, finally.
Yeah, like, an hour before I went to the VMAs... Like, an hour before I went to the fucking, like, MTV Video Music Awards, I was moderating a Sex J Twitch stream. And just, like, it was only, like, it's always, like, 100 people in the room. And they're always just, like, asking me and Sex J questions. But, yeah, like, do you not follow him?
I should. I'll do it right now.
Follow him
right
now.
He's fucking great, dude.
Follow him right now.
Yeah, he's going to the same college that I dropped out of grad school at.
Fuck yes.
So, once again, solidarity all around.
I'm, like, obsessed with sexual Jumanji.
Because when you said sexual Jumanji, I mean, it's a great name, but I thought it was going to be, like, the movie Jumanji. It's like a board game where shit comes to life, but they just fuck you instead of being, like, liners or whatever.
Yo, DP always finds a way.
Did you say DP always finds a way? Goddamn. by the way, I can't not laugh at any time, like, somebody talks about, like, a director of photography. I always, like, lose my mind laughing. Like, I'm never gonna be, like, mature enough to not think that's hilarious.
Is that holding you back in LA as well?
It's just, like, laughing about DP every time I'm on a set. Well, the internet presence helps. It, like, helps me a ton. And also, like, hurts me in that there's probably, like, a bunch of people that, like, don't get it. Yeah, Sex J, like, stayed with me. He's stayed with me in LA, like, twice now. And I met him in Milwaukee. Like, I've been following him since, like, 2014. I tried meeting him on, like, the first time I ever, like, went on a tour was with Bob Odenkirk. And we were in Milwaukee. I was like, Sex J, come through. I put you on the list. And then last minute he was like, oh, I threw up. I, like, can't make it. And then I was on tour with Bo Burnham. Went to the same venue in Milwaukee and invited Sex J again. He came through with a friend and then confessed that, like, he didn't come through the first time because he was afraid that he was, like, being, like, catfished. He thought I was, like, pulling one over on him. Like, he thought he'd show up and he'd be like, oh, I'm on the guest list, and they'd be like, no, you aren't, you're a fucking loser. So yeah, he just, like, pretended to be sick because he was, like, nervous. But we met at the Bo Burnham show in, like, March 2015, and then he was in LA, and that was amazing. He was in LA this year. Like, I do like a party there where I'd like troll DJ sometimes. And
Will is finding out about so much shit today.
Literally, Will and Matt. I'm just trying to, like, put these. Like, you troll DJ.
Yeah.
Do you troll DJs or do you DJ as a troll and just play shitty music?
Both. Okay. Both. I mean, like,
are you an EDM DJ?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But
because that to me would be like trolling,
right?
If you play that music anywhere I'm around.
But yeah, I like throw a party called Teen Party, which is like Teen Party is the name of a Spotify playlist, like this default Spotify playlist where it's like all the like top 40 hits. And like I saw that name and I was like, this is the most narc ass like and I was like, this needs to be my DJ name. And it's also the name of my party in LA. And so I throw this party at this place, Los Globos, called Teen Party, and the first time I did it was in May, and Sex J was in town, and it was the day he got in. And so as he walked in, Pretty Boy Swag by Soulja Boy was playing, and he's, like, walking in, immediately, like, swarmed by, like, there's, like, a bunch of girls that are like, oh my god, you're sexual Jumanji, and, like, as this is happening, there's Naruto visuals on screen and this like waving text that says sexual Jumanji is here. And it was just like such a euphoric moment for me. Like that was his first time in a bar. Like he had never been in a bar before. And like his first time being in any sort of like 21 plus building was that.
So his first experience going into a bar. He walks into club.
Yeah.
Girls swarm him and say, oh my god, are you Sex J? And then like wavy like projector like yeah. animation is like yeah, sexual like Jumanji four
screens.
Is here.
There's four giant screens in this like pretty big room that all say sexual Jumanji is here. And it's like a few hundred people are there.
Brendan, do you also do charity work for the Make-A-Wish Foundation?
I mean, it's
are you like John Cena?
I like to think that Sex J thinks that happens for everybody the first time they go into a bar. It's like, hey, he's coming. Hey, how was it the first time you got? Yeah, no, I went with my uncle, and the place was just a fucking shithole.
Right.
Nobody gave a shit.
God damn. He fucking, that Twitch stream yesterday, like, I'm visiting New York for a limited amount of time. Like, I'm in a city where you can do so much. You can do so much in New York. But last night I chose to stay in on my friend Adam's couch and moderate a Sex J Twitch stream. And he like when I logged on, I didn't know he had been online for like 6 hours. Like he had been Twitch streaming for like 6 hours.
He loves being online.
He's extremely online. He loves Twitch streaming. So then I, like, posted a video of the Sex J Twitch stream, and then Chrissy Teigen replied to it. Like, Chrissy Teigen, the famous model from television, replies at Brandon Wardell, at Sexual Jumanji, what are you nerds talking about? Okay. And, like, it makes me respect her a lot more, knowing that she, like, is a sex J-head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, knowing that, like, Chrissy Teigen, a model who's been in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, like, on the cover of the SI swimsuit issue, is like, at her, like, fucking mansion, reading sex J tweets, is, like, incredible.
Hey, Des Moines Sex here. Yeah, I've been doing some thinking, and, well, it's like this. How should I put this in a term that everyone can understand? Ah, easily. Come next generation in gaming, I am hanging up my controller forever. The reason why I'm doing this is because 3D games are boring the living shit out of me. I cannot stand them anymore. I mean, sure, I play Wii and my brother's Xbox 360 if I want to try an HD game, but it's just getting boring. It's the same shit every game, especially with Xbox. Xbox 360 games, you got running around shooting fuckers, having 9-year-old little bastards running around, oh, I owned you, you fucking noob. It's like, yeah, I want to see you say that to my face, you little bitch. Fucking little retard. I'm gonna fuck put you on that fucking system. Idiots. But it's just getting old. Running around shooting people, running around hacking, slashing. I mean, there's nothing new. Nothing's being explored. Now, I will admit, most gamers out there are shallow as hell and have really shitty taste in gaming, and they enjoy playing a repetitious game over and over again. Seriously, how many Metroidvania games do we have, guys? We have Symphony of the Night. We have Circle of the Moon. We have Harmony of Dissonance, Aria of Sorrow, Dawn of Sorrow, Portrait of Ruin, Order of Ecclesia. How many do you fucking need?
Again, I feel like maybe we should clarify. This is one of the, I actually do know what Twitch streaming is.
Yes.
But for anyone who doesn't, what is Twitch streaming?
Oh, yeah. So I'm not even a gamer, but I just, like, know about it because of SexJ. Basically,
it's like you live stream yourself playing a video game.
You live stream yourself playing a video game. So on one screen, it's the gameplay. On, like, the lower corner, it's you on a webcam playing the game.
And you're, like, so, narrating what's happening.
Yeah, and people are, like, chatting with you. You're choosing music. So he's also, like, DJing the whole thing. Like, he's also, like, SexJ's, like, playing all of his favorite music. He kept playing Krayshawn. He, like, kept playing,
he,
like...
He does love Krayshawn.
He loves Krayshawn so much. Who has played Team Party, by the way. And so he, like... He was, like, playing Gucci Gucci, and he was like, this is my Twitch anthem. Like, this is my gameplay anthem. But then he just started playing, like, Krayshawn deep cuts for, like, an hour.
See,
as he was playing H1Z1, and I was just like, what am I doing right now? Like,
okay. I know we've talked to Virgil Texas about this.
Yes.
But, like, Virgil Texas and Chapo, we want to start doing Twitch streams, and we want to, like, my idea for it is, I want to, like, get on some forum or some game where it's just, like, really socially maladroit, like, adolescents who just scream abuse at you, but, like, I want to try to talk to them about, like, socialism and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like,
yeah.
I want to try to, like, educate teens or whatever and, like, talk to them about shit, like, while
get
they're,
all,
like...
Get all these, like,
13-year-olds like, yo, I no-scope swatted you, faggot, or something like that.
That's... No, they don't talk like that anymore, Will. Will, get out of the mid-2000s. Will, do better. Will, our culture has evolved. Our culture has evolved.
Yo, I'm so stuck in, like, the mid-aughts, because...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fuck. There was, like, that Bashful Coward tweet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's, like, me 5 years ago, like... Michiganders. Oh, because I met one of... I don't think it was Bashful Coward, but I met Mike Hudson.
Yeah.
Michael Hudson.
Shane Hudson.
Shave Hudson.
Yeah. I met Shave Hudson and Michael J. Hudson in Detroit. That was a great... That boat tour was great, because I... Literally, it was, like... One day I met SexJ, and then, like, 2 days later I met Michael J. Hudson.
I've never met the Hudsons, and it's like, I'm like the eighth Hudson brother, and I love the Hudsons.
Yeah.
We,
There's a lot of them,
there's
right?
so many Hudsons.
Are they all on Twitter?
No, not all of them. A lot of them are. But, like, me and Andrew, we send each other voice memos where we're pretending to be Rich Piana talking about, like, the Iranian election and shit.
Oh, my God. Sexshay put me onto Rich Piana via you, I guess.
Yeah. I love Rich, like, recently. I'm really happy for him because he, you know.
I saw the divorce picture. Like, the divorce announcement, which was incredible.
It was so... Life Must Goon.
Yeah.
Life Must Goon. But he's, like, he's doing really well, because I don't think Sarah's doing it as well. My friend has been DMing Sarah on Instagram, and was like, hey, Sarah, I'm a big fan. Like, how are you doing? Oh, she's like, life is tough, but, like, you gotta fucking keep going forward.
Goddamn.
And it, like, made me kind of sad, because she's swearing every sentence, and, like, she learned that from Rich.
Wow.
You know, like... It's sad. I, like, hope Sarah gets together. Rich seems like he's doing fine, but, you know, better by the day. That's what we all say.
Yeah. I mean, they got the king and queen tattoos.
Yeah. But that was, like, why when they were getting at their wedding, Rich was like, yo, hey, if this shit doesn't work out, I'm still fine, because I still am a motherfucking king.
Yeah.
Right, babe?
Right.
And that was very, like, prophetic. That was very sad. It was like a Terrence Malick movie. Like, his life is a Terrence Malick movie, and that would be the scene where he's like, it doesn't work out, and then there's just, like, a grain of pre-workout going into the blender, and you go into the cosmos, and then you flash forward a year, and they're getting divorced, and Rich is, like, looking at the king tattoo, and he's like, I'm still a motherfucking king.
what's a good video game that we should try Twitch streaming? If it's, like, our first time.
Sexshay plays H1Z1.
What the hell is that?
I mean,
is it like a shooting game?
Yes, yeah, so, like, I've moderated
I thought that was, like, the swine flu, H1Z1.
Like, I've moderated him playing it a few times. Still not totally sure what it is. Because, like, sometimes it'll be him running around. Like, it's like a girl with a gun shooting at people. Or sometimes it'll be him riding around in, like, a car or a tank shooting people. But I'm still not totally sure what the objective of the game is. But it seems fun. Sexshay's having fun. So...
If Sexshay's having fun, then we're all having fun.
Yeah. Because I'm not a gamer. Like, I don't know... Yeah, I don't know anything about that shit.
I'm not a gamer because my parents forbid me. We were a video game house. Yeah, I'm still angry at them about that.
Wow.
So it feels
like... Wow, what the fuck, man?
It's like how I feel about Catholic school and jacking off. Like, it took me way too long to start jacking off because of Catholic school.
How long did it take you?
I didn't jack off until I was 16.
Holy shit! Yeah. Oh my god.
That's another Chapo trap house exclusive.
Wow, we're finding out a lot today.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
I started out when I was like 9 or 10. And wow. I started smoking when I was like 13.
Fuck
and
yes.
Like, I was, you know, I was a sig boy. I was a cum, like, jacking off boy. Cum boys is now copyrighted, so I wasn't a cum boy. But,
they're very precious about the cum term.
Yeah.
Like, they're very precious about, like, cum ownership. Because I, for a while on stage, have been like, hey, give it up if you like to cum.
It actually really does.
And then I'm like, where are my cum heads at? Oh, yeah, Felix has seen this. Yeah. He's seen me do this on stage. He saw me at the Knitting Factory last time I was here. So I've said that, and then, like, I made some video with, like, I say video, like, it's, like, an actual thing. I made a Vine with my friends Nick Coletti and Hampton Yunt, where we were, like, smoking kush but calling it cum. And Nick was just like, hit this cum. And Hampton's like, cum boys for life. But, yelike, they've... Nick and Stav and Adam, like, I guess they're the cum boys.
Well, yeah, they're always appropriating people's cultures. It's like,
exactly.
they were
trying to get me to say the N-word on their podcast so bad.
That's classic Nick, Stav and Adam.
Yeah,
that's their shit.
But wait, you brought up doing like vines and videos and shit. We alluded to this at the beginning. But I gotta ask you about the trend that you're spearheading now. You know, dicks out for Harambe, that shit is dead. The new aesthetic is real motherfucking goddamn respecting women hours.
True goddamn motherfucking respecting women hours. Yeah.
So, like, When is Respecting Women ours?
Always.
Yeah.
It's just we're in it right now. As we speak, I just checked my watch. It's true, goddamn motherfucking Respecting Women.
For you guys, hours. You guys at home, you can't see this. Brandon doesn't have a watch. Millennials don't wear watches. That shit's stupid. Yeah, because there is no barrier between work and leisure anymore.
Damn.
And there's also all time. Is the time to respect women.
Yes, always. It's always time to respect the sweeties.
Do you think the young people of today respect women more than older people?
Yes.
Other generations?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a good thing about millennials that you don't read about.
You didn't see, there was no true goddamn motherfucking respecting women hours back in the olden times.
There was, I don't think there was even that in the 90s.
Yeah. No.
You know?
No, hell no.
No. Everybody was busy beating their wives.
like in the 90s, you could kill your wife for making dinner late, and
women weren't allowed to vote yet.
Yeah, no one was woke in the 90s. No one.
Yeah, they were just eating like blue raspberry gushers.
Everyone in the 90s wore a gray long sleeve t-shirt with a denim vest and killed their wives all the time. That's all they did in the 90s.
They just left to kill their wives. Yeah.
They were like, oh, I have to go to the Blind Melon concert because I have to go to it next week because I'm getting 3 hours of community service for killing my wife.
Oh, well, did you know that the... That's not funny.
No edits. I mean, if we edit anything, let's take out the D-Ray N-word thing. Remember I said D-Ray, said I'm allowed to say the N-word.
But no, I mean, like, we're in a new era. We're in this, it's like the new era cap that Eminem wears. Like, you have one shot to respect females.
Yeah.
And you're gonna take it.
Don't miss
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, but yeah.
I give. It's weird when, like, so I've done all these, like, tweets where I post videos about how it's true goddamn motherfucking respecting women hours. You know, I post all these videos where I'm like, hey, like, if you're up right now, like, being intersectional as hell, smash that like button, you know, whatever. And, like, I'll post these videos and people will get mad at me. They'll get mad at me. They'll be like, hey, what's the joke here? And I'm like, hey, there's no joke here, folks. Like, hey, why are you, the fact that, like, you're getting mad at me because you think this is a joke, like, I'm mad at you. I'm the mad one now.
You have to turn it around on people. Like, always have to turn it around.
Yeah, it's fucked up
like
that. that they think respecting women is a joke.
Yeah, it's no joke.
There's no joke here, folks.
It's also not a joke is the fact that we're now taking over the world, or at least America. I think I saw something recently that the millennial generation is now larger than the baby boomers. We are now
physically larger. we're more swole.
Beat their ass.
Yeah, I can fight any baby boomer.
Just in terms of numbers. Boomer, just the sheer...
destroy. I'm so much stronger than my mom.
But just in terms of sheer numbers... We're not the largest generation in American history, and, like, you know, once the baby boomers die out, we're basically going to be running this
Will,
shit show.
Will, Matt, what does it always go back to? Lebanon.
Okay.
The millennials were the Shia. Baby boomers, Katia Maronites.
Okay.
Gen X, Sunni.
Right.
But we're larger, we're dispossessed, we have young people Hezbollah, which is Twitter. Like, they're fought. We're gonna just take over their entire shit.
But people say that, like, this is gonna be bad because, you know, millennials, you know, they either don't work enough or they're working too often.
Yeah,
like, you know,
they fuck too much or they don't fuck enough.
Yeah, what is it?
I don't know. Like, well, millennials, one thing we like to do, very normal thing that all of us do, every single one of us. It's not weird. People who say it's weird that I do it, it's actually not. I'm the norm for my generation, is you have sex, but you don't come.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, is that called edging?
Yeah, well, edging is more when you jack off and don't come, which is also, like, fun to do. I like doing that. But none of us like to come. None of us.
No.
It's stupid.
Coming is extremely bad.
If
that was the joke, you know. like, I mean, when you say who out there likes to come, and so someone claps, you're like, woo,
yeah,
you're like, look at that,
look at that, look at that. I don't think so.
If you're older than 20 and you're still coming, like, holy shit, grow up.
Yeah, absolutely. Grow up.
Do you ever roast people in your audience, like Def Comedy Jam style?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, yo, why my man in the front look like he wants to come so bad?
Oh, man, this cum head ass, face ass, neck ass. Boy, you looking like you like to come.
If you don't get your ejaculate face ass out of here, boy.
Great. By the way, this is officially, I think, the most retarded episode we've ever done.
Easily. Well, it's my fault, guys. I was supposed to wake up earlier today, but my alarm clock on my phone, like, fucked me up. And also, I'm like, shouldn't have been up till like 5, but in my defense, I was reading Wikipedia, and that's how I got smarter to write all my articles.
Yeah, I was, I woke up, like, pretty late when I, like, had texted you, and then you didn't text me back until 12:45, because that's when you woke up.
Will was in my living room when I woke
up. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I was like,
today, guys.
I was showing, do you follow Darcy? Like, she's 3334433, whatever.
I think so.
So, she was, I'm staying at Adam's house. His, like, roommate's out of town, so, like, I have, like, my own bedroom, own bathroom. It's a nice look. It's very nice. And so,
Adam has, like, an unbelievably nice place.
It's like a really, so much nicer, like a really nice place, yeah. Darcy came over to get off the kush. And we were watching MDE World Peace. Like, we watched, like, all 4 episodes last night. And then, like, I think, yeah, Darcy left because she was just like, I can't. I can't deal with this. Like, she was not feeling it.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, well, she tweeted something today where she was like, if weird Twitter had a smell, it would be dried cum. And then I replied to it, and I was like, is this because we showed you World Peace last night? And she was like, so I think that's why.
Yeah, that's a yeah, an is always a yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll admit that I'm one of the people who don't get it. I mean, I've watched the first 2 episodes, and it's not like I want somebody to tell me why it's funny, because comedy is subjective. I know that's impossible. Right. But I honestly want someone to tell me what's supposed to be funny.
Really?
Like, I don't even get what, like, the beats are that are supposed to be where you're supposed
okay,
to
laugh. Okay, so you guys
that's
have watched...
That's how much I don't get it.
I haven't seen it yet.
You've watched Sam Hyde videos, though.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Like, you've seen... Like, you're a Sam Hyde fan.
I mean, he's sort of, like... My feeling on Sam Hyde is he's sort of, like, I'm... He alternates for me between being extremely funny and extremely repellent. Like, just genuinely.
Oh, I think he's... Mm-hmm. Well, oh, it's like... We were like watching it last night, and it's like there's moments on that show where it's like genuinely like unsettling. Where like there's like yeah, there's definitely moments on that show that are like unsettling, but it's like that's good. That's like what art should be. And he's like I think he is like funny as fuck. I think he probably is kind of a fascist.
He's a
like I think
I wouldn't
like,
I wouldn't put the qualifier there.
Yeah,
I would just say he is a fascist.
I think he is. Yeah, I think he's like he's definitely just like a like hilarious fascist, and like everybody who there's people that there's like that BuzzFeed article,
right,
where like they were like the alt-right has their own show an Adult Swim now, and it's like I don't think that's really the case. Like I don't think any of us really know like what he believes. I think he's just so
I think he's sincere.
I mean
what difference does it make?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think he's just taking people at their word.
That's what I go with. I mean, otherwise you're just doing them like fourth dimensional chess trying to figure out what somebody has actually
right
that, well you can't, I think he's and you just can't sort prove of, it anyway.
I think that show is just, like, that show and, like, his whole, like, existence is just, like, it's a product of, like, just, like, being online constantly and having your brain just broken because of the internet and irony on, like, an irreversible level. And, but, like, yeah, I think, like, the show itself, the videos can get, like, very, very political. Like, he has that video where he's, like, he crashes the Bernie rally, and he has that video where he's like walking around Yale with an All Lives Matter sign.
Yeah.
And like this and this, but like the show doesn't really touch on any of that. Like the show never really gets political or anything. Like it's, but I think it's like it's a very funny show. And I think people should like watch it before just like reading the BuzzFeed article and dismissing it.
Yeah, form your own opinions, folks. But yeah, no, I mean, like, the Sam Hyde videos where he's just, like, watching videos of, like, women talking and then just being like, you're a fucking ugly pig, I hate you.
This.
No, there's another one that was even worse than that, where, it, like... It,
you've watched Tumble This.
Yeah, thing, yeah,
right?
I've seen
where
that.
Where he, at the beginning, he's like, guys, as you know, the guys, like, just know this is satire. I think fat women are beautiful.
Yeah, but he's clearly just having like he's clearly winding you up even more.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's him like scrolling through body positivity tumblers and just like being an asshole. But like as he's doing it, he's like eating ice cream and like being disgusting. So there's like it's different than like if like some like good looking. Like, fucking, whatever, you know, some, like...
Like, if any of us like, called women ugly, it would be, you know...
I mean, there's something... I think there's something, like, different about that video than, like, if it's, you know, watching some, like, fucking Steven Crowder asshole or whatever, you know?
Like, I mean, Steven Crowder isn't clever. Like, Crowder's bits are like, I'm gonna show how tolerant the liberals are by putting on blackface and sucking my friend's dick at a college.
Right.
But, like... Sam Hyde
is smart.
My opinion on Sam Hyde is like, you know who is a great writer? Celine.
I'm reading him right now.
Yeah. Celine was a fascist French writer, and he was a really good writer, and he was like Sam Hyde.
Right.
And it's like...
He was also insanely racist.
He was like, Celine would watch film reels of Jews and be like, I'm a loud type of Jew.
Wait, have you seen the round bread video where he's like, what is this, round bread?
I mean, I understand people not liking him and finding him disgusting.
No, like, absolutely.
But it's also, he's really funny.
I totally get why people would find it repellent. That's why I want as many people to watch that show as possible, okay. Because I like when people are disgusted by it.
I'm on the fence generally about him. I can't quite decide if I think he's funny or not, or just sort of like a grotesque, sort of sideshow of, like you said, a culture of like being brain damaged by the internet. But like, I do think he is sincere about, like, I don't think he's just trying to be funny when he says that, like, he hates blacks and thinks, you know, Jews are like parasites or whatever. Like, I think he means that.
He has that. Have you seen the Jews Rock sketch?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. But like the joke is that there's Adult Swim people watching him make it, I guess.
Oh yeah, like it's like a bunch of kids like dancing around being like Jews rock, and it's like it's like a child's TV show set, and they're all singing this Jews rock song, and then it cuts to like these Adult Swim executives like watching it and just like being like bored and confused. But it's like it's definitely I completely understand why somebody would watch that show and not be a fan. It's very abrasive. What Sam Hyde does is extremely abrasive.
My favorite. I have to go in a bit because I like everything is falling on top of itself for me today, and I'm a big enough piece of shit to wake up to fucking 12:45 by accident. But my favorite Sam Hyde is when you sort of see an insight into him. Like, my favorite Sam Hyde bit is the one where he's watching the 3 and 30, the marketing
thing.
That's
the classic one.
Because it's like the most exposed he is, behind the least layers of irony, being the least, like trying to be shocking. That's the real guy. And you just sort of see his pure disgust. And you kind of see how he's gone insane.
But, like, the real guy, the real guy is not a good person.
He's not a good person, but it's, like, it's interesting to see, and you kind of see how you make a Sam Hyde.
Yeah.
How you make a guy who's very funny, but also has these, like, disgusting
opinions. He's, like, that's the thing is, like, he's absolutely lost his mind.
Yeah.
But he, this is a man who's Like, I'm convinced that, like, irony is a drug. I'm convinced that, like, irony is a highly addictive drug that can ruin your life. And so is the internet. And, like, the internet and irony have been, like, the most destructive drugs in my life, by far.
But I mean, mine too, but they've also, like, have built my life.
You know? Oh, 100%. Like, yeah. It's also, like, why I have, like, fans and a career and money. Same. I pay for a one bedroom by myself because of the internet and irony, you know, whatever, but like
I'm gonna be taking a fucking cab to Midtown because of irony. Like, right. I can afford that because of irony.
I think we can leave it there and just say that's what's gonna happen to this entire generation.
We're all gonna become Sam Hyde.
Yeah. We're gonna go irony America now.
It's kind of like I don't know, watching that show is like it's yeah, you really see it's the product of the internet and irony. It's like, but I think it's like fascinating because no, that doesn't exist on TV.
Hell no. Yeah.
Brendan, thanks for coming on. And,
thank you so much.
Thanks for just making all day, every day, every second, respecting women out.
Absolutely. Respect women, everybody. Brendan, thank you.
Cheers, everybody. Thanks for coming on, Brendan.
Bye.
Bye.